Hello!
Hello! You're listening to League of Ordinary Gentlemen Curbcast, Seinfeld edition. Technically episode 11 of our Curbcast, but this is for our first, very first of this Seinfeld edition, which we wanted to do this for a while now, actually. Oh, first, I should probably just say I'm Matt Durson.
I'm Clay Inferno.
All right, very well. Okay. See, we wanted to do this for a while because it has been 20 years, as you and I discussed a while ago, that since Seinfeld went off the air. 20 years.
God damn it.
You believe
so
that?
Old.
Seriously.
Over here.
I was graduating college, and then you were probably, you were a year ahead of me, right? So,
Yeah. So I was graduating college that year too, because it took me 5 years to graduate college.
Oh, it almost took me five. I had to take summer classes.
I had summer classes in one of those semesters, and a fifth year of school.
I mean, it's hard. Most people don't graduate in 4 years, actually. I don't know. I mean, I didn't do well, if that's it. I actually just was like, I don't want to go anymore, so I better graduate in 4 years, because I don't want to go to school anymore.
Then you're like, where should I go work? Oh, I'll work at a college.
Yeah, well, it's different work in there, because you know. I just needed health insurance. I started to work, thinking working at a university.
You have a cool job. You work at uni, as they'd say in the...
Yeah, over in jolly old England.
Jolly old England.
But so we wanted to do, like, we did 10 Curbs, because there were 10 Curb Enthusiasm episodes. We might do, hopefully, if it doesn't suck so bad, maybe 10 Seinfelds to celebrate the 20-year anniversary. And,
You know, we always have something to go back to when Curb is on hiatus,
which is
a lot. Who knows if we probably won't get another season after this, but maybe you never know.
No, he said there would be another season, didn't we? I thought Larry.
No, but
said,
I'm saying even when he comes back, is he going to do another one?
How many more seasons? Right. I guess as many ideas as he's got. He's got a whole notebook apparently. But I want to start with this episode.
It wasn't really I know you're going to introduce the episode, but it wasn't really a Larry David central.
As much as every episode of Seinfeld had some Larry David elements, you're right. But he didn't write this one. He didn't really do anything. He's listed as executive producer, of course. But I felt like this one is kind of a Curb-like episode.
Correct. Yes, you're totally right.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to do it. So this is, we're talking about the Junior Mint. So
it's a junior.
It's a junior mint. The idea, there are a couple of reasons, but yeah, I like this because, Seinfeld was known for doing the whole episode is in the parking garage, or the whole episode is in the Chinese food restaurant waiting for the table.
Right.
This was like a very Curb-like episode because there's a lot of the scenes go into the next thing and it calls, I thought it was very Curb-like. And even Michael Richards, since I saw those interviews and the DVDs, and he said it was big, very broad kind of episode for them. So, and you got to put this in perspective. This is the mid-90s. You know, sitcoms were like Friends and Mad About You. You know what I mean? It was all very like New Yorkers.
We used to call it Mad At You. Mad At You.
So this is, all right, just in case anyone doesn't remember, which if you listen to this, you probably do, but this is the famous, there's a couple of great storylines. So first of all, they go to watch this operation. Kramer offers Jerry and Junior Mint. Jerry doesn't want it. Jerry pushes his hand away. The Junior Mint goes flying through the air, lands in the patient, and they sew him up with the Junior Mint inside. That's the A storyline. And of course, the famous... almost as famous. The other famous storyline is the woman that Jerry can't remember her name.
And to be honest, I have taken a break from Seinfeld, and to realize that those two moments were in the same episode blew my mind. I was like, wait, well, this is the same episode? Like, I hadn't seen it in such a long time. I was like, damn, that's fucking crazy.
I know. Those are two really famous storylines that, don't, and they don't relate. So that's kind of non-Curb-like, you know, like Curb will do a, they'll somehow, and even Seinfeld sort of mastered this later on, and but they, the two episodes, the two storylines don't really mimic, you know what I mean? They don't tie up at the end together at all.
Yeah, but they're completely absurdist anyways, these.
Absolutely.
Things. How would they happen?
Well, that's a funny, so Andy Robin is the writer in this one, and he said even, like, I can't believe this is the most implausible, most ridiculous idea that you could be watching an operation and there would be nothing between you and the patient, like that you could conceivably drop a junior mint or anything into a patient, like into the hole, as George describes it. Into the hole?
Into the hole. Yeah, they won't even let you like in.
Right, I mean,
the,
you can
they
watch,
have locked doors
glass.
And like security guards right. at hospitals now, you know what I mean? You can't just go yeah. in there.
Yeah, I mean, you can watch an operation, students watch operations through the, there's a glass partition. I mean, you can't have it's, he said it's, I couldn't believe they even went for this. This is the most ridiculous idea ever, but I mean,
but
I don't
picture
know,
like what was that there was like a TV show and it was all old-timey looking, and they do it in Frankenstein and stuff too, where it's like at the turn of the century, like Victorian times.
Yeah.
They used to have the same thing, like where Jerry and Kramer were looking down.
Yeah. It's such a great visual too. They got those things on their head. They got like the hospital gowns and the things on their head.
And there's like a couple of people, but they didn't like stack a bunch of people behind there because they're probably
know,
standing they're... on a ladder or something.
Yeah, like, I know. They didn't make it look too full, but it's pretty hilarious. So Kramer does like the psst, 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 like if he can't see.
Yeah, and they're like, what?
He's trying to get the doctor around. To move so he can't see. Kramer loves the idea of watching this operation. There's a really great scene before it, which I'll get into that in a second. Well, I mean, so yeah, they go. Jerry and George are at the coffee shop, and Kramer comes in and he says, hey, my date stood me up. And Jerry's like, you were going to bring a date to the operation? And then he says, and George's like, what kind of operation? He says, splenectomy. And he's like, oh, isn't that where they remove the? And he's like, oh, don't spoil it for me.
Don't spoil it for me.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's the famous line, which is another reason I wanted to talk about this episode first in our Seinfelds, because Jerry says this really funny line, which he says on the DVD extra thing that I was talking about earlier. So Jerry says, all right, let me finish my coffee. I'll go watch him slice this fat bastard up.
And that and was he's like breaks a, he breaks up a little bit. Like
I know. Cause
he breaks character.
It's really like funny. It's apparently something he said in rehearsal or whatever, and they decided to just go with it. But he said that just violated every network rule, every sitcom, you know, rule of like, you know, your characters being likable and, you know what I mean? Like relatable.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Because here's this guy. So the storyline is this guy used to be fat and Elaine dumped him. But now that he's in the hospital, he's thinner and she likes him again. So anyway, so Jerry keeps kind of making fun of the fact that he's fat or was fat or whatever. But I mean, yeah, so the fat bastard line was apparently Jerry thought like, okay, this is it. Like the horses are out of the barn. We're going full bore. Like we can get away with this. When the network let that by, it's like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. And it was already like on for so long and so successful.
Yeah, like,
this
I think
is
this
is
the
fourth season episode.
Yeah,
you know,
the fourth. I know, but they still weren't. You know what I mean? They weren't. They had done a lot of great things, but I still feel like, you know, the network was giving them notes and stuff. Probably, I don't know. I mean, this is just based on Jerry's recollection. So, but that was a really because yeah, as far as he's concerned, that meant I can get away with whatever, whatever I want. But really hilarious. And I remember even when I first watched it, that line really cracked me up. And he kind of cracks up too, like you said.
Yeah. He definitely does.
Yeah. So apparently, he probably did that a lot. I don't know. He wasn't really an actor, so he didn't really.
Right.
But so after the, we'll just keep following that. After the junior mid is in the guy, he takes a turn for like the worse in his health. They think he's going to die.
Yeah.
Or as Elaine says, prognosis negative, which is also a movie that they had planned to go see in an earlier episode. So that was like a reference to it.
Was that on the movie phone episode?
No, it was like just, I forget that one night they were going to go see prognosis negative. It was the one where Jerry was watching this guy's dog and the guy like disappeared, or the guy had a heart attack or something. It was really weird. So Jerry was stuck with this guy's dog. And they wanted to go see the movie, and he's like, I can't. I got this dog here, or whatever. So, but anyway, Prognosis Negative was the name of the movie. So, but anyways, the other storyline, which we haven't talked about, George has come into $1,900 because of like 50. He used to put 50 cents into this. Grammar school bank or whatever.
Yeah, and then Jerry said he did that too. Like, oh, I remember that. But there was like a lot of like one-on-one like George Jerry moments where they were just talking to each other and saying weird shit. And well, this was part of it.
That was the show. You know, George and Jerry, it was basically George and Larry. I mean, Jerry and Larry. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, because they obviously went to the same school, so.
Sure, remember that.
Yeah. So, like, anyway, they contacted him. They said, here's $1,900. And George, even though I think at this time he's out of work, I don't know if he had a job at this point, because he was, you know, back and forth. He had a lot of different jobs. he wanted to parlay it. And Jerry says, why don't you just put it in the bank? And he's like, what, are you crazy? Which is hilarious because he just got out of. Like, he just discovered this money and the interest that it accumulated over all these years, and yet he wants to just blow it all. And so he decides, this is got to be something that no network executive, they assumed, would let fly. But when the prognosis comes up, you know, like the guy is going to die because he's an artist. George wants to buy his art, hoping that it will be worth more money someday because the guy is dead.
So terrible.
It's like, I know. It's like I know someone who, when they found out Kate Spade had hung herself, thought like, I wonder if her bags are going to be worth money now.
Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, not as like a, you know, just as like a, but yeah. So anyways, George buys $1,900 worth of, this guy makes triangle art. Which is...
Yeah, what does that even mean?
What does that even mean?
What is triangle art?
I don't know, but they're in the hospital room. And then every episode after this, there were triangles in George's apartment. Literally every episode that you show George's apartment, there was at least one triangle sculpture in there that this guy had. So the guy recovers. He thinks it's because he was so inspired by George's... buying his artwork. The doctor who played the doctor on almost every episode they ever needed a doctor on, by the way, his name is Tim Wexler, I think it's what, Dr. Wexler is whatever. His name is Victor Rader Wexler. But he says that something staved off that infection. Something from above. And it was obviously, they're sort of joking that the junior mint was responsible for saving the guy's life. But I mean, it's just such a silly. The, of course,
The doctor didn't know that the junior mint was in there, right?
It seems no. He just thinks that like the heaven, you know, God or somebody intervened. Oh, totally. But then Kramer's like, mint, and he's like, oh, those can be very refreshing. I actually love this doctor. He's hilarious. He's also the one who tells George that Susan has died from licking the envelopes many, many years later. And George is like, come again? So anyways, yeah. And then like the last scene is the guy eating this giant, like his mouth full of like spaghetti. It's all gross. Like he's got like, ugh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, like
stuff in his face.
You kind of think of him as, you don't really see him standing up, but you kind of think of him kind of as like, he doesn't look like super thin or anything.
Yeah. But Elaine is starting to get, you know, repulsed by him again, so.
That was a turn I didn't see coming, though, because it was only the fact that he was, like, eating food, and I'm not, like, going to fat shame anybody or anything, but the only thing that looked gross about him, really, was that he was eating the food. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, he looked normal. I think we're supposed to believe survived. That he could.
Why didn't she want to hang out with him or, like, go on a date with him or whatever? Like, because he's survived the surgery.
I don't know, I guess.
Want to die.
No. But, I mean, earlier in the episode, she was like, wow, you look, you know, great and blah, blah. So, it's a bit of a stretch. You kind of have to picture, like, this means he's going to be fat again, I guess, is what we're trying to say. Or maybe just the way he's just stuffing his face. I don't know. But that's, you got to use your imagination a bit. But it's pretty hilarious. Just the idea. There was a great blooper even, because George is in the guy's hospital room and he's like, oh, thanks for saving my life. And he kisses him on the side of the face.
Yeah.
And as Jason Alexander is leaving the room, he's like, oh, that's great. Roy just kissed me on the mouth. But anyways, yeah, the Junior Mint storyline, completely ridiculous, but it's so great. I mean, the triangle part is great because literally any episode that shows George's apartment, there is a triangle sculpture in it. And I just love it because George says, I'm looking forward to many years of looking at the triangle. So now, though, okay, we did that. Now we got to talk about Jerry's girlfriend.
Yes. Mulva? Hest?
There are so many great, like, names. Okay, so yeah, he meets this girl. George is like, he's like, oh, it's great. How do you meet? And he's like, what's her name? And he's like, I don't know. So, like, you know, they're supposed to get together. George is like, what are you going to do? Like, you have to ask her name now. It's so embarrassing. He's like, no, there are ways. So, like, he says, you know, did people make fun of your name? And she says, well, yeah, what do you expect when your name rhymes with a female body part? And then, of course, Jerry, it's the most ridiculous, like, makeout, like, ever. Because she's like, like, they don't even really do anything. And he's, like, looking around, like, what could it be? What could it be? And she says, oh, Jerry. And he's like, oh, you. Which is actually I love that line. But it's so funny. When I watched it last night, I was like, why? Like, they're basically hugging and rubbing each other. There's no, like, actual making, but whatever. It's just a sitcom. But I do love the oh, you line.
Oh,
hilarious.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you a little. You want to hear a little story about this?
Oh, I'd love to hear.
Again, from the DVDs. So originally, her name in the original script was Chloris.
Chloris?
Chloris. And, like, okay. But there was an NBC executive sitting in, he liked to watch the rehearsals or whatever. They were in front of a studio audience. And he overheard a woman in the audience say, oh, I bet it's Dolores. And so he went and said, you know what? I got a better name for you. And they went with that, which is pretty funny. But, oh, his name is Glenn Patrick. I should probably give him credit where it's due. This network executive, his name is Glenn Patrick. So anyways, yeah, like, they come up. I love, but I mean, actually, he says Celeste, which is actually, that's a pretty, you know. But I mean, the best scene is that George and Jerry in the coffee shop, and George is like, all right, let's try breast. And he's like, he says Bovary. That's another one. It's pretty funny.
And they stick with Mulva, and they say Mulva, like,
yeah,
multiple times.
I think there is a later episode I didn't actually research this, but Mulva appeared on the episode where Jerry had broken off his engagement to Janine Garofalo. Uh-huh. And he reconnected with her, and he was like, and she was happy that he could commit. But then when he says, oh no, we just broke up, like, no, it was totally mutual. And she's like, oh, come on, it's never mutual. He's like, no, it was. And then she didn't believe him and stormed out. And he was like, Mulva, come back. So he was still calling her Mulva, which is like years later, which is pretty funny. But anyway, yeah, like they stick with Mulva, which is by far out of all the names that they were coming up with, was the most ridiculous one, but it just sounded funnier, I suppose. But yeah, I think he gives, like, Gipple was another name, I think.
Yeah, Gipple.
So Dolores was like the big, that was the capper at the end of the, at the end, because he does try all these other things. My favorite part is when Kramer comes in and Jerry says, oh, if you introduce yourself, she'll have to say your name. And he says, oh, I'm Kramer. And she says, nice to meet you, Kramer. And then he goes, see you later. And he just
and he just leaves. And then the same thing happens. George comes in.
Yeah. George says, oh, I'm George. He says, nice to meet you, George. And he's like, I tried.
Yeah, because she is out the door and she didn't leave her name. Like,
right.
He was like, yeah, nice, I tried.
He walks out.
But it was on his mind, you know.
Yeah, he did.
Jerry Hanning.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good friend.
One of the most common things that ever happens to me. I'll be like in a group of people and won't know a couple of their names. And like, I'll just be sweating it out that whole time and doing that whole thing where it's, hey, this is my friend.
Yeah, well, you Justin. Introduced.
And you hope that they say their is name.
Yeah, hi Justin. I'm Mulva.
Yeah, but it's usually just like they just leave, just like Mulva did.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like I went through. I got to a point in my life, like my mid 30s, or probably more. I don't know, later 30s even, where I just figured I wouldn't need to meet anybody else anymore, and just kind of stopped remembering people's names. I don't know why, like subconsciously. And then I met Rachel, and I met all her friends, and I didn't remember any of their names. And I kept, she would talk about this person that, you know, I had hung out with and talked with. And I'd go, do I know them? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, oh, well, all right. But I don't remember names that well, so. Yeah.
I don't either. And I see a lot of people.
Yeah,
everybody's listening to this.
A lot of people.
And I've forgotten your name. I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can over here.
It is funny, though. I mean, I'm with Jerry. I mean, like, because he was like, you know, I mean, it's hard. You meet someone, you don't know if you're ever going to really need to remember their name. And then you make out with them, and suddenly it's too late. But I like the scene where she says, oh, she got her program autographed. And he leaps through, and he's like, and she's like, I'm really starting to fall for you, Jerry Seinfeld. And he says, I'm starting to fall for you. And he's looking at the program. He's like, Joseph Puglia?
Yeah.
Who is Joseph Puglia, I wonder? I love that name. They must know somebody named Joseph Puglia, because that's just such a funny, like a goo, nothing. Like, where does that name come from? But yeah, and then she finally figures out that Jerry doesn't know her name. And in fact, it is pretty funny on that later episode that I referenced earlier. I'm remembering now, I think he did use her name over and over again, just to, you know how people do that?
Yeah, that's a technique. Yeah. When I want to know somebody's name, I do that.
You just keep saying it over and over?
No, I keep saying, like, I like say, hey, Kevin, do you want to blah blah blah? I say it a couple times so I remember it.
Yeah, but
I'll say it under my breath, like Kevin, to myself. It's Kevin.
Kevin.
It's funny, Kevin.
Like to me, it's obvious when someone is doing that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's really weird. Or at least to, maybe I'm just paranoid and I'm thinking like, they're using my name. They must want to remember it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, Matt, let me tell you something, Matt. You know what I mean? Like, they go on.
Matt, is it? And they take out their little like police notebook with the spiral. It has a little tiny golf pencil on the top. Matt, hey, A.
Yeah.
They lick the pencil and write your name down.
Two T's. Yeah. Okay.
Two T's.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got Matt. It, Matt. Thanks, Matt.
Oh, Matt. Yeah. That would be really creepy, like when they leave. Okay, thanks, Matt. And they just run away.
To me, it's very obvious when someone is trying to remember your name, but I don't know. But yeah, I'm pretty sure
God bless I'll have them to go if watch it helps them. Go for it. I have a unique name though, so people usually remember it.
That's right.
Cuke.
Joe Puglia. Cuke.
My name, Joseph Puglia.
Hest, Celeste, Gipple. I don't know. do you want to hear another funny story about Dolores?
Yes, please.
Very personal story. I won't say who, but you'll know who it is. But I was watching this when this first aired. I was living at home because I was in college or whatever. I must have been home for whatever reason. Right. I was home a lot. I mean, whatever. Watching this with a friend of mine and my mother. My mother is a big Seinfeld fan, by the way.
Really?
Yes. My mom actually got me to watch this show. She's like, oh, you got to watch this show. It's really funny. It's really weird. So I never, you know, this was like the first season. So anyways, watching Seinfeld, the Dolores moment happens. Jerry runs to the window, yells it out, Dolores!
Yeah.
So my numbnut friend can't figure out
what the... Oh, my God.
And my mother is there. And my...
Already making me cringe a lot.
My friend is trying to ask me what the hell the what's Dolores? Well, I don't understand what body part does that rhyme with. And I
said, Hest.
I think I said, I'll tell you later, is actually what I said.
Yeah. Like, how did that work out for you?
We went out he was going home. I walked out to his car with him and I said, Brian, it's Clitoris. Oh, I just said his name. Everyone knows who I'm talking about, but you knew anyway. All right. I said, it's Clitoris. And he's like, what the fuck is a Clitoris? I said, forget it. I'm not going to sit here and explain to you what that is. But college. Guys, you know, we certainly didn't know where it was. I'll say that. But but in front of my mother, he's trying to get me to explain to him what that is.
Oh boy.
It's pretty hilarious. I suppose, I don't know, most people call it, or not most people, but some people call it a clitoris.
That's the...
Is that the...
The Dr. Ruth pronunciation. The clitoris, when she was all German. Remember Dr. Ruth?
Yeah, I remember Dr. Ruth, yeah.
So that's sort of the way she would say it. And if, I think maybe there was, like, people like me that would, like, listen to that and be like, ooh, what is Dr. Ruth going to say? Like, as an adolescent boy.
Right.
So that's like, how it
there was no internet porn back then.
Exactly.
Dr. Ruth.
Listening to like an AM radio at 2 in the morning.
I feel like clitoris is kind of an old school way to say it, actually. I don't know. But yeah. No. That was an embarrassing moment for me, anyway, because I didn't want to have this discussion with my mom sitting there, and she probably didn't want me to have that discussion. She probably doesn't remember it. Obviously now, 25 whatever years later, however many years later, but it was embarrassing.
Oh,
especially since this friend of mine, who I just said his name, but that's all right. I hope he's listening, if you listen, buddy, we love you. This is not, we're not making fun.
We do love you.
And he had, but he had claimed at that time to have been with many women.
Right. We all did at the time.
And well, I mean, I think at least part of it was true. I'm sure most of it was true. I mean, but he had bragged about several conquests, but he had no idea what this, what body part Dolores rhymed with. So I want to share that personal story.
Very good.
Very, very good. But yeah, so I don't want to talk about this for a second too. You were talking about there's a lot of just back and forth between Jerry and George, and that's always good. George doesn't really have much to do in this except for the $1,900 thing. But they have that.
He is like literally watching TV at Jerry's house, which is something I always thought was weird. Like how they would always just be like in each other's apartments and houses and shit all the time.
Well, it was always just Jerry's apartment. I mean, we saw George's and Elaine's here or there, but like no one ever hung out in them. Yeah, it was always. And I guess that's just because they had a set, you know, like Jerry's apartment was the main set. But like they actually made a joke about it in this episode in a way, because George has rented Home Alone, which is so funny to me. I don't know. It's like you rent video for one thing. You rented video. He had a videotape of Home Alone. He asked Jerry if he could watch it in his apartment while Jerry and Kramer and Elaine go to the hospital to visit this guy.
I think originally they were going to play racquetball, which I only poked itself out at me because I was like, 80s was a lot of racquetball. Tons of racquetball.
This is the 90s, man.
Well, 80s and 90s.
You're right. I played racquetball in the 90s.
People talk about racquetball today. It's not nearly as prevalent.
I kind of want to play racquetball.
It's super fun. It's a really fun game. And when they were talking about it, I was like, oh, wow, I'd love to play racquetball. How do I go do it? Do I still have goggles? I wonder.
Yeah, I never used goggles. I did get hit a few times. I was unlucky, I guess. I wasn't very good, but I did enjoy it. It's good exercise. It's
super fun.
Moving around a lot. But anyway, so, yeah, they were going to go to the hospital, go play racquetball. George wants to watch Home Alone in Jerry's apartment. And Jerry's like, why don't you just go to your place and watch it? And George says it's because now he feels like he's out. He's doing something.
Yeah, he's doing something.
If he's at home, he's just sitting at home watching a movie, which I kind of agree with. That's got to be a Larry David thing, right? I mean, that's...
Oh, for sure.
Seems like a very Larry David sort of moment. If I'm out, you know, like if I'm out of the house, then I'm doing something. Even though he's literally doing the exact same thing he would be doing if he was at home.
Yeah.
That's something like, it's weird though, because that's like a weird thing.
I identify with that though. I do totally too. Get it.
I would rather be out than home. But like, because if I'm at home, I don't feel like I'm doing anything or I should be doing something. But I feel like nowadays people just want to sit at home and binge. Like they're only too happy to watch a movie in their house and not go out, you know, like, which is fine too. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's a different time now. You know, like people don't feel as like they're not doing anything. Right. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
A lot of people are really super busy too. So when they go home, that's just what they want to do.
Yeah, they want to do nothing. Yeah, I get that. I mean, I didn't have a job when this came on, you know.
Well, I was thinking too, like, you know, that like this is like ultimately Curbcast is like totally your idea, but I was so into Seinfeld like in college, but we watched TV differently back then. Like we'd watch Seinfeld when it was on. Always watch The Simpsons when it was on. When it was like actually on TV. You know, not like have the DVDs and all that and like watch seasons of stuff or binge it. You couldn't really binge it.
No, you couldn't because there was nothing.
It's not like you would rent it either.
No, it's true. No, you just watched it when it was on and you cherished it because like this was, it may be a while before you see it again in like a rerun or something, you know, like it is true.
They feel like they used to play like Festivus like a lot. I feel like they played like a lot in this one a lot, you know. I feel like they played like the top
right.
rated ones in reruns like more often than the other ones.
Yeah, it's true. They do play Festivus even on TBS nowadays. They play Festivus every December 23rd. Because they don't play
it. Of course.
Yeah. TBS still has like syndication rights, but they don't really play Seinfeld. I think they only do it on like Thursday nights or something. But used to have like two episodes on 7 o'clock every weeknight, and I used to sit and watch it. Like, because I was like, for me, 7 o'clock is like a good dinner time.
Like, right.
So like, I would watch Seinfeld when I lived alone in Brighton. A lot of times, I would watch Seinfeld. Boom, like 7 o'clock. I'm gonna watch some Seinfeld and eat. And yeah, like now I think you know, they have Family Guy and stupid. What is that show with the nerds?
Oh,
Bazinga, whatever. What's that? What
is the name of that show? I don't know. I don't watch it.
Well, old show.
Big Bang Theory. Sheldon.
Big Bang Theory. That's right.
Yeah, see.
Yeah,
I come across it eventually.
I can't stand that. I'm sorry. But yeah, they play that a lot. I get it. Seinfeld's over 20 years old, but I still want to watch it. Oh, well, but you're right. We did watch TV differently, and, you know, we'll never get back there again, probably. So, but yeah, this was something that you had to sit and watch it, just like I did with my friend and my mom, and no one knew it was coming. I obviously right. didn't know that there would be this weird sexual reference. Although Seinfeld did that a lot, but it was, what are you going to do? My mom loved the show. So she still talks. She loved Kramer. She thought Kramer was the best. I mean, she still does, but yeah. She'd be like, oh, how did he not hurt himself? That's what she would always say.
How does he not hurt himself?
Yeah, he's like a lot of physical the door
and stuff.
Comedy, yeah.
A couple of cool like he enters in a couple times. One, they throw him the gloves, and the other time he's like holding that wood paneling wallpaper.
Yeah, that was something they made a reference to in a couple episodes. I actually wanted to mention that because that's pretty funny. Like, I want to surround myself in wood, Jerry. Wood. It's just so ridiculous. And then he comes in and he's like, this wallpaper is fantastic. The place looks like a ski lodge.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is pretty great. I love that. he needs the rubber gloves. So he goes to the hospital and just steals handfuls of rubber gloves so he can stain his floor.
Yeah.
In this wood. Yeah,
he wasn't happy with the whatever ones that.
Yeah, he didn't like Jerry's dishwashing gloves. But and on the episode where they were doing, which didn't come too long after this, the episode where they were doing the pilot, the Jerry, the show within the show.
Yeah,
the lines that the people trying out for Kramer read were that bit about the wood wallpaper. It was pretty funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the auditions. That was the word I was looking for. The people auditioning for Kramer used that line about the wood wallpaper. So that was pretty hilarious that they went back to that. There's also a great when they're in the hospital room, Jerry is using his yo-yo, which is also something he did a few times back in the early seasons, and then it just kind of dissipated. But that was like a sort of a running gag for a little while.
I used to have that same yo-yo, like a Dunkin' Imperial. I could never do anything with it.
Dunkin' Imperial?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
That's a kind of yo-yo. Dunkin' makes the yo-yos, if you were to like, when you're a kid, go to CVS and get a yo-yo. That's the kind of yo-yo you get.
Really?
The other kind was the butterfly that like kind of looks like a butterfly.
Clay, you are really
Dunkin' Butterfly.
You're teaching me something here.
Oh yeah, well, I used to play with the yo-yo. My dad was super into like having a yo-yo and like teaching me how to do it like from when I was a kid. He's like, "This is super fun. You should do it." And it is fun if you can get it. If you can keep it going.
Yeah, it's hard. I had one of those light up yo-yos. But oh, nice. I mean, I can't really do much with it. I have a Joker yo-yo now that I got. Because,
is it a butterfly style? Where you would like be able to stick your finger in a little bit?
No. It's just the round, it's pretty old.
Discs.
Is that what they call them? I don't know. A Dunkin' Imperial. So there was that running gag. There was the, Elaine always does the get out kind of thing.
She pushes
the guy in the bed the day before he's having his spleen taken out. And this is, as far as I know, this is the only time she ever actually apologized for doing that, because every other episode she shoves the person and they just kind of move along. Although Kramer
and he hadn't had his surgery yet.
Yeah, he was like, "Oh," and this is the only time Elaine went like, "Oh, I'm sorry." So that was pretty good. There's one of the the exchange where when Jerry tells George that Elaine was getting chummy with the guy, George says, "Oh, it's the Clara Nightingale syndrome." He falls ill, she falls in love. He's like, "I think you're thinking of Florence Nightingale." I forget how it goes. Or he's like, "What did I say? Clara Nightingale?" Like, "I think you're thinking of Clara Barton." It's like, "What'd she do?"
I think she was nice.
Yeah, I love that. I don't even know if you could say that anymore. But I don't. What did Clara Barton do? I don't even know who she is. I don't know who that is.
I thought they were just riffing.
I feel like she's somebody famous. Who's Clara Barton?
George says that weird thing about Susan B. Anthony.
That is really weird. What the hell is he talking about?
That seemed like a very curb, those guys riffing and making shit up off the top of their head.
Maybe it is, yeah.
Clara Barton was, okay, here it is, from all Wikipedia. Right. Clara Harlow Barton was a pioneering nurse who founded the American Red Cross.
Oh, okay.
So she was.
She was very famous. So maybe that's why he brought up Susan B. Anthony, because she was like a pioneering person as well.
Yeah.
Weird. But yeah, they had conversations like that a lot. I love them. I don't know, but I think she was nice. You know, like men talking about women. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love that. But, yeah, that's...
Those are my favorite parts.
Yeah,
those guys talking.
That was something that they did a lot in the early seasons. And they, as the stories got more involved, they wouldn't always have just these sort of extemporaneous conversations as much.
Right.
But it's great to watch these old ones and get a little bit of that. And a little bit of trivia, if you want some trivia.
Love trivia.
So, and that, as the Junior Mint is, they wanted a shot of the Junior Mint flying through
this
the air.
I know this one because it was in the video I think you sent me. Yeah.
Oh,
you should tell everybody listening because it's hilarious.
If you're listening, yeah. They couldn't get the camera to focus on a Junior Mint because it's so small. It's a Junior Mint. So they painted an Oreo and threw it up in the air. Oh, no, it's a Peppermint Patty. That's what it is. It's not an Oreo. It's a Peppermint Patty, which is bigger. And it's still mint. But yeah, and so that is not – that's a Peppermint Patty.
You would never analyze that and try to figure it out.
No.
It's not like it's a Stanley Kubrick movie. You're like, I wonder if that was really a Junior Mint. Like, it was completely convincing to me as a Junior Mint. This is years until I just saw that little extra thing.
But isn't that funny? Yeah, that the guy, like, I mean, as silly as it is, they probably spent hours and hours trying to film a Junior Mint, you know, and they're like, oh, I ain't gonna work, or whatever, you know what I mean? And then figuring out they get a peppermint patty. And like, who goes, does someone go to the store and like, hey, we need some peppermint patties?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just funny to think that that's how easy it was. There's no real like trickery or CGI. They literally put a peppermint patty up in the air and filmed it.
And they probably didn't like do one for like, oh, well, they probably did just have, can you sort of see it flying through the air into the guy's body?
Well, they don't, no, they just kind of show it falling down.
Right.
And then there's this like weird noise, like it makes this, they show it does, Jeremy
it's Kramer. Like a squishy noise.
Yeah, it's like a like, splashy, like kind of noise. Like so a pretty gross. Gross. I know, and then like their reaction, because Jerry kind of mouths like, "Did it go in?"
Right.
It's just so weird. But yeah, the idea that you could even do that. And then there's like the great line where Kramer's, where Jerry's like, "Why'd you push that mint on me?" And he's like, he's like, "I told you I didn't want it." That's what it is. And he's like, "I didn't believe you." He's like, "Why didn't you believe me?" Oh, who's going to turn down a Junior Mint? It's chocolate. It's peppermint. It's delicious.
It's delicious. The way he says it's delicious is prime Michael Richards. Prime
I know.
Michael
Richards. So funny.
So good.
Yeah, so definitely a classic in the annals of Seinfeld. Everybody remembers the Dolores bit. Everybody remembers the Junior Mint falling on the guy. You know, I mean, like, it's part of the...
It is, yeah. But it is, it's almost hard to believe they're in the same episode, considering the amount of hours there are of Seinfeld.
9 seasons of Seinfeld, yeah. That, and there are so many storylines, yeah, that those were... But this was definitely a product of, like, the early years when they really just... They were just flying by the seat of their pants a little bit, and they were just like, what about this? What about this? And it wasn't just like, and obviously I love the show, but I mean, like, as it went on, like, there was a lot of like, oh, George's parents and you know, whatever, and all this stuff. And it got to be very, there were other characters and everything like that. But this one was very much early Seinfeld, just ridiculous and funny. And the silly fake names that George and Jerry were coming up with, and just good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, and Elaine, like, being so wishy-washy with that guy. She likes it before surgery, and then after surgery, she just does it.
Well, when she first walks in, she's like, so you remember that Roy, the artist? And, I broke up with him because he was a little too, and Jerry says, artsy. She says, fat. Like, it's just like, I love... I mean, I've always loved Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but this she was so funny. She's still funny.
The best. But like, Veep is great.
Veep is great. Yeah, absolutely. She's so funny. Everything she's in, but like, she's not afraid of like looking a little foolish. I mean, she'll obviously not. But I mean, like, she's underrated, really, for years. I think she's finally getting her due now, but I mean, for years she was an underrated comedian. Yeah. She never won an Emmy for Seinfeld, like, for years, because it was always Michael Richards and Jason Alexander getting it, or the show getting it, or Helen Hunt getting it, for God's sakes.
Right.
Speaking of Mad About You, or Mad at You, as you used to call it, she won a bunch of Emmys. And there was actually, that's another blooper I remember on the DVDs. Jerry says, like, they kept cracking up during a scene. And Jerry says, come on, we got this. We won an Emmy, you know. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus says, well, yeah, but I didn't. So she is, but yeah, just her delivery, everything. She was great. So what a great show.
Great.
Great show.
Great.
So, yeah. I think we're going to try this again.
We should.
Yeah, we're going to try to get some guests, get their takes on Seinfeld.
Can we talk about like sort of Seinfeld like related, since we're doing the Seinfeld and the Curb thing, I have a TV recommendation if you ever have the time, because the precursor to Veep is this show called The Thick of It, and it has Peter Capaldi, who is like the last Doctor Who, in it as like a prick, like you know, government guy. But it's all like, especially early seasons of Veep, when they're like just shucking and jiving and moving all around the office and all sorts of stuff is going on. It's like that. So like, this is the Veep was modeled after the show, and it, and I just started watching it, and there's not that many episodes, but it's like four seasons, and they're like weird lengths, so like four episodes and eight. But it was really, really funny. And you can definitely see where Veep gets its like DNA. It's sort of like the, that would be like related to the British office to the US office. Like
they're right.
But they're like based on it, sort of, you know.
Yeah, we take all of their shows, don't we?
Yeah.
British or the TV creators is great. Do it. Yeah.
That guy, Armando Iannucci, who I guess he's like the executive producer for Veep too, but he also did that movie Death of Stalin.
Oh,
which
okay.
is with Jeffrey Tambor and and Jason Isaacs and a bunch of awesome actors. It's so funny.
Excellent. All right. The Thick of It. I will try it out then.
The Thick of It.
The Thick of It. Yes. Very well.
But yeah, we're going to have Seinfeld guests. And
yeah, I think we can arrange something. And yeah.
Comedian friends on here. We'll talk Seinfeld. Everyone loves Seinfeld.
Everyone does. Yes.
I mean, if you're listening to this and you want to be on the show, drop us a line. Or if you know somebody that was on the show.
That'd be something, yeah. Because that'd be dope. Because, you know, it was 20 years ago. They might want to talk about it.
Yeah. A retrospective.
Yeah. Yeah, hard to believe. 20 years ago. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're a fan, I would recommend, if you haven't watched Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry, watch the episode. The episode with Michael Richards was great, and the episode with Julie Dreyfus was really great. You can tell that they're just really good friends, and they were just...
Yeah, they're both
They had a
funny.
Blast making this. There's an episode with Jason Alexander, but he's like, George? It's not as funny. You know what I mean? He's like in character. It's kind of weird.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Yeah, it's not that good.
Why did they do
that? I don't know. I don't really know.
That's bizarre. I don't think I've ever seen
maybe.
That one.
Yeah, it's like an early. It's an early one, and it's not that good. I don't know. I was disappointed. So, yeah, I mean, but watch them all. Comedians in Cars is a great show, too. But watch those two, because you can really tell how much they just how great Seinfeld was, not just like to their pocketbook. But what a great experience it was making it. They had a really good time. They all became really good friends. Yeah, so.
The best, as they would say.
The best, Jerry. The best. So, yeah, all right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah, drop us a line if you want to be on or know somebody. Or
tell us which episodes you want
which,
to.
Yeah, which one would you like to talk about. There's a lot of them. There's 250 something episodes. I don't know, something like that. So, yeah. Let's get it. All right. Talk to you guys soon. Remember, check out leaguepodcast.com. We got a whole bunch of stuff up there, news, events, and other podcasts if you like comics and stuff. Get on that. All right. Thanks, Clay.
Leaguepodcast.com. Thank you, Durst. It's been fun.
Yeah.
You got your new computer set up over there. This is the first podcast on that.
Yeah. I hope it sounded all right. Very well. And yeah. See you guys later.
Later.
Good night, Jerry.
Good night, Newman.